As a developer, demos can be a powerful way to validate your work, get management to make a decision, or even build your brand. In this episode, we've got not one, but two experts to share ideas on how you can make powerful demos.
Welcome to Breakpoint, the ServiceNow Developer Podcast.
Hello, ServiceNow admins, builders, developers, and of course, all of the curious individuals that I always say with the utmost love and respect, welcome to or welcome back to Breakpoint, the ServiceNow Developer Podcast, where we bring you the latest tools, tips, and tradecraft to accelerate your career. And today's episode clearly falls into the tradecraft sector. My name is Chuck Tomasi, Senior Developer Advocate, and I am joined by the smart, the beautiful, the posh programmer, ServiceNow developer advocate. Oh, senior ServiceNow developer advocate. Pardon me. We wouldn't want to do that whole chairman and CEO thing again. Lauren McManaman, how are you today, Lauren?
You know what? I am fantastic despite the demotion. So
We were doing that to Mark Opie last week in Washington. He was all over with titles.
Are you senior director? Are you director? Senior VP? VP? It's hard to keep them all straight when they all sound the same from an individual contributor standpoint.
They do. Well, Lauren, I am pleased because in this episode, we have the pleasure of talking to two people. We have the manager of outbound PM demo engineer, which is an appropriate title because we're talking about demos today, Anusha Garamella. How are you today, Anusha?
Hi, Chuck. I am great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Our pleasure. We also have senior outbound product manager, Amit Kumar. How's your day started? Or actually, you're closer to the end of the day. How are you today, Amit?
No, it's been wonderful, Chuck. And I've been great. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast as well.
We are working opposite ends of the time zones here.
Yes.
Lauren and I are up at, well, the sun will be up soon for us, and it's probably setting about this time for you in India. But really appreciate you giving us your time.
Yes.
Before we begin, let's do a little get to know each other. We'll start with you, Anusha. What's your story?
Let me start by what I used to do versus what I do in the demo team right now. So like a computer science grad who used to write lines of code. So I was I started as a developer at Microsoft. You and Lauren might, understand the passion behind writing the lines of code and then trying to get the best of the solution and then making sure that everything works behind the scenes. So started as a developer. And then I moved as an architect where I got to look at the broader perspectives. And then I moved into product management by accident. So one of
how do you move into a position by accident?
Let me tell you that. So as one of the product managers on the team who was supposed to do a big demo in my previous org was off that day. And then it was an impromptu chance that I got. And when my manager said, hey, Anusha, since you've developed the feature, you know that in and out, would you like to go ahead and show the demo? I was like, of course, I'll do that. And then when I presented that demo, I understood that I love as much as coding, I also love presenting and also looking at the vision, the roadmap, and what the product is actually doing. So I started taking side projects, working with different mentors in product management. With that experience, which I call by accident, because that happened to me. If that person were not out of office or if they were presenting that day, I wouldn't have been here in the product management realm. So I took that as an accidental opportunity and developed. And since then, I developed great passion for product management. And now, especially in ServiceNow, I am fortunate to work with a team of rockstar PMs who specialize in building demos, and I'm proud to be leading the customer and industry workflows portfolio. And I say that we are the best demo team for CIWF and ServiceNow.
You sound like the right person for the accidental job.
Yeah.
Lauren, I think we write Anusha's name on a slip of paper and put it in that folder for potential future presenters.
Absolutely.
Now, when you're not at work, what do you do for fun, Anusha?
Oh, I love spending time with my friends and family, especially on long drives. I love cars and I love driving also. So no matter how tired I am, jet lagged I am, going on a long drive with music energizes me with a cup of coffee and snacks, open the sunroof, just enjoy some nice breeze and weather, and I'm recharged for the rest of my day.
That sounds idyllic.
Yeah. Especially mountains, especially when I'm on vacations. That's the best thing I want to experience.
Wonderful. Thank you. And Amit, what is your backstory? How did you get to ServiceNow?
Yeah, so I'm based out of New Delhi. Just to start off, Jack, I've been a functional consultant all my life. Initially was working on Oracle products, then was somehow introduced to the ServiceNow ecosystem and was having in the ecosystem for like 8 years. So I understand how powerful the product is. I did segue into a fintech domain just to get into the product management role. I mean, it didn't happen accidentally to me like Anusha. I had to make an effort to get into this. And once done, I'm here and I actually look at the healthcare and manufacturing industry and I create those wonderful demos that you see for those two industries. And I've been with ServiceNow for over a year and it's been wonderful since I'm here.
Well, thank you very much. And your passion when you're not at work is?
It's playing sport. I believe I can play all the sports with equal ease. A lot of people may not agree, but that's what I believe. And the second item is that I spend a lot of time on planning travels, because eventually if you plan 10 travels, you'll end up going on 5. So planning takes a lot of time than actually traveling. And I find that that more fulfilling, because I can plan that I'm going to Antarctica or wherever, even though I don't go. But yeah, I mean, that gives me that feeling. So I do that a lot.
I feel you so much on that planning aspect, especially if you're trying to plan it with other friends and family. That is a very big challenge. That's usually the reason that they fall through eventually. So I feel you there.
Exponentially. Yeah. I'm putting Amit's name on my list of people that can do my travel planning for me.
There you go.
Absolutely.
He loves it. Give it to him.
Yeah. Who needs a travel planner when you have Amit?
And any sport, Amit? I'm going to challenge that. How are you at ice hockey?
I mean, I come from the north, but it doesn't snow. So maybe I'll pass on that. But yeah, I mean, you can talk about other sports and I'll be good.
You raised the flag. I had to go for it.
I know.
Well, another question we love to ask our guests and friends is, tell us a story about a time that you thought you did something that you might get fired for. Perhaps it's, I don't know, maybe sleeping through an alarm, like someone maybe speaking on this call did today, or, you know, maybe it's something innocent, but usually it's always get a good chuckle. So, you know, do you have any one of those stories?
No, absolutely. For me, it was right just at the start of my career. So
as they usually are.
As they usually are. So I was working for a client visit wherein one of the big client was visiting our campus, and I was working on the creative part of it, wherein we had to create the standees, the brochures, and a lot of collateral, which was supposed to be part of the visit. I was supposed to send it out to a vendor, but the Outlook limit that we had in our office was that you can't send anything beyond 20 MB at one go. So one of my friends suggested, why don't you open your Gmail and send it out? I mean, anyways, it has to go out to an external vendor. So it doesn't matter whether it goes from our like official ID or like the personal ID.
True.
So I went ahead, I sent it out. And the next morning when I came in, there were like 3 major security incidents which were raised, escalated to my manager and his manager. And I was like, I'll probably be fired today. But somehow they understood what the intention was. I mean, what the situation was. It didn't seem like too big, but when you are at the start of your career, I mean, even small things like look very big. And I learned that no matter how much time it takes, just follow the policies. I mean, the processes are there for a reason. So we better adhere to that rather than looking for shortcuts.
Wait until you've been there 25 years before you start bending the rules.
Absolutely.
Anusha, how about your story? Can you top that one?
Yeah, of course. So again, in the beginning of my IT career, like everyone or almost everyone, while I was working on a project with one of the platinum customers, the word platinum itself means how important, you can imagine how important the customer is. So we were doing a large scale, it was, it's called in private preview. So they signed up for a private preview for a feature, and they were doing all the arrangements to make sure that their application would function as smooth as it should. So one of the steps was to size the VMs to launch all the infra using Azure ARM templates. So in that, one of the obvious parameters is the number of the size of the virtual machine. Then depending on that, you get the number of compute resources, the memory, and yada, yada, yada. So inadvertently, I changed the size of the virtual machines to a small size. While the application is huge, imagine the application was doing more than 1 million transactions. And could a virtual machine sized as handle it? Oh my God, that's a total no. So this was even, you know, without my notice. I didn't do it by purpose. That was something that got changed in the script. So, and then the launch was smooth. Everything was good. Everyone was congratulating each other. And then my mentor came up to me and said, "Hey, Anusha, can I have a word with you?" So, of course, let's speak about this. I thought it would be another appreciation of what I've done. But he said that, you know, this is something that has changed. And he said, "I didn't want you to, you know, change something at the last." Instead, he did it himself and said, "Everything is smooth, but I want to emphasize the fact that you have a support system to help you in this scenario. But make sure that you do all these checks beforehand and have everything ready before the final release or the go-live scenario." So I would have obviously gotten fired if the applications were not starting that day, but my mentor saved me. So the lesson learned here is have people who can support you in different scenarios, at your best, at your worst, and even when you make the mistake. He didn't pinpoint hands. The mistake was more like a lesson, which I still remember. I would have taken it otherwise if it was not put that way, considering my experience, the maturity in the industry, and also the work that I've done. So he rewarded me, at the same time corrected me. So that was my short story.
I love that. That's fantastic. What were your thoughts when you were watching this? You go, "I can't believe it's running that well on a small instance." Like, look how much money I saved them.
They're really efficient.
Yeah. When your manager says, "Can I have a word with you?" You're thinking, "I saved the money."
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great tip. Rely on your support system around you.
Mm-hmm. That's why we work on teams.
Let's jump into our main topic. Great introductions, by the way. Let's jump into our main topic. Why should a developer or any other technical person really care about doing a demo?
So a demo is a form of communication. So I will say that it is a way of putting your ideas into action. So imagine you write hundreds, thousands of lines of code, but how it looks on the front or on the screen is the way how people absorb it and it gets ingrained in their mind. So demo is a way of communication. That's one. Second is, through a demo, you're creating some memorable experiences. Imagine if you have to put all the hard work and into action such that people remember that for a long time. So using your demos, you're creating experiences and not just showing them screens. And third is, it's a way of engagement. You talk through a demo. You identify what are the pain points, what are the feedback, what are the knowns, what are the unknowns, the needs, requirements, and a lot more conversation happens through a demo and while you navigate it. So these are the top three things that are at the top of my mind. Amit, what do you have to top up here?
Yeah, I mean, pretty similar, but just to add, I mean, demos are crucial for everybody. I mean, be it a developer, sales guy, or anybody. I mean, whatever work has been done needs to be presented well. I think that's the core of it. And by presenting that work, we gain confidence. I mean, it helps improve communication skills, allows us to build rapport with the stakeholders, which in a way leads to better collaborations in future. And just to add, I mean, when they say that excellence is achieved not only through doing good work, but also by effectively presenting it to the world. So the presentation layer is as important as the technical layer, which is on the background.
That kind of gets to an old adage that I've heard. It doesn't matter if you're the smartest person in the room if nobody knows it. So the demo is a way of showing what you know and how it solves the problem and the solution you've come up with, et cetera, et cetera. So I love that.
Also, what is your point of view on the audience aspect? So you can sometimes put together like a perfectly scripted, perfectly rehearsed show, but you also have to make sure you're targeting it for the right people. So what do you think about when prepping for a specific type of audience?
So let me give you a broader context, and then Amit, you can go into some specifics and share some examples of what we do in DemoHub as a best practice. So especially with audience, again, like you said, Lauren, no matter how prepared you are, somebody throws a curveball in there and we have to pivot from a certain scenario or a script that we've prepared. So over the past, as you do demos and prepare your demos, you categorize this into different buckets: potential customers, internal audience, external audience, or even you train the trainers, right? Group meetings where you train the people who are delivering the demo itself. So preparation is the key, plus also understanding what the use case is for the demo that you're showing, what is the end-to-end scenario, highlights, and benefits. So these are some of the key aspects to consider. And then you can go further deep into what is the job role or the person who's actually building the demo, plus the person who's viewing the demo. So there are two aspects of it. The first aspect is, I'll let Amit talk about, for example, if you're building a solution consultant is building a demo and he's showing it to a potential customer versus a solution consultant is building a demo to an internal audience, both are different in terms of prep and delivery as well. So Amit, you want to share your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, just to add on the ServiceNow context to it, so the demos that we build as part of our team are actually consumed by solution consultants predominantly. Mm-hmm. And there are two types of SEs. One are like the core SEs who look at a specific industry. They have technical expertise of a specific area. And then they are, it's the opposite side. We'll just cut this out. So yeah. So the audience for our demos are predominantly the solution consultants. So the demos that we prepare are actually run by two types of SEs. One are the core SEs and one are the specialist SEs. Specialist SEs look at a specific area, the area that they specialize in, and the core SEs are more looking on the, in generic terms, in terms of looking at, there could be like different level of expertise that these guys have. Now the demo should be such that they are able to cater to different audience. I mean, the maturity level of the customer could be different as well. I mean, they could be right at the starting point of the curve or they could be pretty mature. So the demo has to be such that it caters to all the audience, allowing them be it internal, external, knowledge, skill set, it should cater to all the variations which are available in the outside world.
So as a developer, I'm proud of my work, as most of our developers are. You want to show off all the bells and whistles, and that may not be the right approach. I've honestly seen a demo go on where the person was clicking through every dialogue box and showing every property and every feature. We never built anything. There was never any flow to this. It was more like reading a manual in visual form. And that was what I would call an extreme case because it went on for 2.5 days.
Oh my gosh.
That's why I wanted to bring this one up. Know your audience is very important and have an objective to this and know what that is. So I'm generalizing here, but what makes a good demo versus a bad demo? And then we can dive into how we make that happen.
Yeah. So I think I'll put the same answer in a different approach that it caters to a good demo as well as a bad demo. So one is discovery. Without discovering what the demo should be, like you said, Chuck, it cannot be a good demo at all. So even before you do the demo, identifying what is the end user expecting to see is the first step. Yeah. That is the first step and one of the aspects of a good demo. Second one is nobody likes to see a lengthy PPT followed by a click by click of 1,000 screens on the software. And like you said, show all the work that we've done so far and lots of technical jargon and terms like mentioning flow designer, script includes, mentioning some of the functions that we use. Nobody wants to know how technical we are, especially in the demo. So again, it depends on the type of audience. If you're speaking to a core developer, they expect those terms. Otherwise,
right. They
do not have that trust in you. If you're speaking to an exec who wants to purchase your software, he absolutely does not want to know any of that. It's just numbers, 25% of time saved, 25% of cost saved, 10% increase in employee productivity. So that is what is the second step, is understanding the audience. Second is usage of language and terms in accordance to who's actually attending your demo. And the third aspect is don't assume. Don't assume anything. Ask questions. Maintain a certain level of engagement and pivot if needed, right? Though you have prepared right. for a certain script, make a U-turn if somebody asks something different. Have a backup plan ready. What if the instance is down? If the demo gods are not with you?
Expect the demo gods. What do we have to sacrifice to these demo gods? I want to know.
Yeah. Right? So you have to, like you said, it depends on the scenario. Sometimes in India, we have this tradition where we break coconuts and then say, hey, demo gods, please be with us and make sure that everything is working well. Or maybe, you know, something similar that makes your instance up and running and working on full speed. Jokes apart. But, always have a plan B ready. Like a Figma click through or a walkthrough or a reprise demo, which is just like a working software, which helps you move across in your conversation. So I think that extra level of preparation and answering and having those most obvious questions answered by yourself, be in the shoes of someone whom you're delivering the demo to and be prepared with some of the most obvious questions. So that's
be prepared. Mm-hmm. I was waiting for that. There it is. Be prepared as much as you can.
Yeah. As Scar the lion likes to sing about in Lion King, be prepared. Speaking of preparation, I think it's interesting because both of you have brought up a lot of points to consider for preparation. You've brought up, okay, we're talking about the audience. We're talking about having done discovery. So do you have kind of like a prescriptive plan or tips that people could follow for preparation just to make sure they don't miss anything?
Yes. So that probably we can put in as, let's say, 4 W's and 1 H that everybody should consider before they start preparing for the demo. First one is who. I mean, we already covered some part of it in the previous answers. I mean, depending on the audience, who the audience is. But we should also consider what the number of people is. I mean, if we are presenting it to like a very big audience, maybe the interaction could be limited. But if we are in a smaller group, I think we can still have that Q&A and maybe understand what they are trying to get out of this demo. So that's pretty important.
No Another Q&A one. At the CreatorCon demos, Lauren. That's what I heard.
Amen to that.
The second one is wherein we need to understand when the demo is, right? I mean, so that helps us understand how much time do we have to prepare. Is it like a very quick demo that we have to deliver tomorrow? So we may not go as deep. If we have enough time, maybe we can make sure that everything is perfect and as expected. Another way could be that how much time do we have to deliver? So our session could be only 15 minutes, our session could be 1 hour. And accordingly, we need to curate our demo. Another way could be just handling or leaving time for Q&As, depending on the audience. So yeah, yes. I mean, that is important when we are doing it, who the audience is. And yeah, I'll let Anusha maybe continue on this.
Yeah, I love the time management aspect of things because you don't want to overgo on your timing and actually you just cover 20% of your demo while the highlights are in the rest of the demo. So you don't want to do that. Amit, great mention of that point. Just to add on to that, I will mention the where aspect of it, right? If it is a Zoom meeting, the preparation is different. If it is a live meeting, the preparation is totally different. While you're in Zoom, you can still have two screens open, pull up the relevant resources at your convenience. You can ask for, say, a two-minute pause and then have everything ready. While the level of preparation for a live event is totally different, it needs that extra level of effort to be put in. For example, if you're presenting on stage, then you have to have crisp, clear talking points. And even if you don't know the answer, right, you don't have the luxury to pull up resources that you actually want to show. So that extra level of preparation is required for a live demo and in-person presentations. And in addition to that, some basic checks, like if you're doing a Zoom or a WebEx demo over WebEx, then checking connections, making sure you're familiar with that software, doing some checks are important. And in a live event, things like your placement on the stage, the screen size of your demo, and where you're picking the laser pointer and showing the right places on the screen will actually capture the attention and help you drive the point home. So that's the where aspect of things. And I cannot emphasize more on the fact of why. Why is someone sitting there in your demo? If they feel that it's not worth it sitting through the entire demo, then that's the end of the impression that we're making through the demo. So throughout the demo, we align with the purpose on why you're actually presenting this. Even if the audience are asking you questions or digressing you from what you're presenting, pull them back, give them a positive no, but say that, let's go through this and then maybe answer the rest of the questions you have. Do not deviate from the purpose on why you're presenting this demo. And last but not the least, I will make a brief mention of how. Amit can also speak more about the how aspect of things. The tools that you use to present, what is the maturity, what is the context, and what will you do after the demo itself is done is also very important. Amit, you can answer that part of how in the demo.
Yeah, I mean, just to add, I mean, based on product maturity, as Anusha said, maybe just showing, let's say, our still in development version while we are talking or to the stakeholders, or which is like ready to roll out. I mean, does it need like a recorded version? Will the demo be shared? Let's say a recording is done and it will be shared with the stakeholders. We could use a number of new tools as well, which have come in, be it a demo easel. There is a new tool that we use within the Demo Hub team, which is Reprise. So there are a number of options available depending on what the audience needs. We can cater our demo or tailor our demo accordingly, making sure everybody gets the maximum out of what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I see some of these very related. The why is tied to the who. You know, who shows up at your demo or who you're delivering to is very linked to why. Why are we doing this? If I'm giving it to an exec, they want a high-level approach. So the why is going to be different than if I'm giving it to my peers as developers as to why we're going through that. We were doing almost a code review in a way. And I see the how similarly tied to like the where. If you're in person, your how mm-hmm. is going to be completely different than if you're doing this virtually. Yeah. And you know, we mentioned things like demo easel and Reprise. And heck, I've even resorted to paper printouts of PowerPoints as a plan C. You know, always be prepared and practice. Those demo gods are not kind, and they will get you if you don't practice. So by practicing, you will find those loopholes. I know it sounds ridiculous when you're going, man, we're just doing a weekly sprint meeting. Why should I practice my demo? It's like, ha, 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 ha. You know, or I'll never be on the big stage. Never say never.
Never say never.
You don't know where your career is going.
One of the things also with practice is that if and when things do occur that are unideal, you won't panic. And I think that's also a huge component. Obviously, we can't be prepared for everything, no matter how well we practice. But if you've already rehearsed a million times, you're not going to instantly combust with fear or panic. And you'll be able to handle those really elegantly too. So that will keep you in the comfort zone for sure.
And just as a side tip, this is leading up to CreatorCon. We have a number of our presenters who are practicing on their local developer groups. Mm-hmm. So they go to the developer meetup and practice their content and get feedback, and then they can fine tune it to make it even better when they deliver it in the big event. Mm-hmm. All right. The who, what, when, where, why, and how sounds very familiar. I believe journalists use that, or at least they used to when journalists were something else. We won't go there. That won't go there. But who, what, when, where, why, how makes it easy to remember. Now, you've done all the prep. You've practiced. Now, demo time has arrived. No problem, right?
All right. So it's show time. So again, putting your best foot forward for the impression that you want to make. I very well agree with what Lauren said. Don't panic, especially if things are not working as expected. Be prepared. Of course, it comes with experience, as one does a lot of demos, right, where you can elegantly handle unexpected scenarios as well. So when you're especially going for the demo, have everything ready. Always a backup, be it a backup instance, backup demo, backup tool. Have a backup or a plan B always ready. And be flexible, right? If they have to change the timing, change the type of a meeting, be it a Zoom or a live, or if even the customer or whoever is watching your demo may need a break, they may feel overwhelmed with the content that you're sharing. It's a lot that we show through a demo. So be flexible when you're presenting your content and make sure everyone is up to speed. Do frequent check-ins and ask them if they have any questions.
Great idea.
yeah, if they want to follow along, maybe you have some instances prepped for them to do a hands-on and see how they feel about what you're showing, right? It's equally important to make sure that you make that mark and impression with the person or people whom you're delivering to. And lastly, time, don't run over. Be respectful of the time that you've, the slot that you've been given and others' time. Ask for more time or another slot if needed. Otherwise, I see a lot of people who don't absolutely like the fact that if we run over, then they may feel that they get a bad taste of it because we're not respecting their time. So that's it. So be respectful, be flexible. Check in with the audience and always have a backup plan ready in case your plan doesn't go as expected.
That time goes faster than you will think. I've even resorted to putting an app, I think it's called Big Clock, on my phone in front of me. So I can have a play clock go, okay, I'm supposed to finish this by 8:40 a.m. Yeah. I know where I am. I know if I have to speed up or slow down. So it's a matter of, again, comes down to practice. If you didn't prepare, you didn't practice, you're likely going to run over and the demo gets a bad impression.
Now, we kind of talked about everything from the prepping to the rehearsal to the execution of a demo. And I think personally, I've been very guilty of this as well, of like thinking my job is done, the demo's over, I can get back to developing or whatever I want to do. But that's not really the case. So what are the steps that should be taken after a demo to really, really take account for all that potential energy that you've earned with a customer or your audience, so you don't lose that?
Yeah, so that brings us to the most exciting part of the whole process, which is feedback. So what we do there, I mean, whenever the demo is done, we need to understand if there are any takeaways. I mean, be it a sprint demo, be it a demo to a potential customer, there'll always be some takeaways or action items from there. We need to make sure that we capture them correctly. And if there are any questions that need follow-up, we'll probably go ahead and do that. We need to make sure that we request feedback to find out what went well or what didn't, just to make sure we can improve when we move on to the next demo going forward. And just saying a good job or a good demo is not really a good feedback that way. You need to be specific. So we need to understand, I mean, what the audience liked and didn't like from the demos. And that needs to be honest. And if we don't really get a time, let's say, from the customers or the stakeholders whom we presented, we can at least request it from our peers or the stakeholders which are probably with you, who are in attendance and probably, and you understand that they'll give you honest feedback. That will help in terms of growth, in terms of what we do when we go ahead and present the demo to the future stakeholders. And we need to make sure if we need to distribute a recording, any specific notes, just to make sure that the whole process is closed out. So that's what we'll do at the end of the demo.
I love it. I'm reminded of, again, I'm going to fall back to one of my common use cases, CreatorCon a few years ago. We had the CIO of a very large company. She was doing her rehearsal. And it struck me. She came off of stage and looked me in the eye and said, "How'd it go?" And I said, "That was great." She said, "What can I do better?" Like, that's why she's a leader. She's always looking for how can we make it better. And you're never too, you know, executive to look for improvements. I thought that was amazing. It really left an impression on me. Cool. That you know, it kind of goes to the other phrase that I love. You're not that smart and they're not that stupid. Keep that in mind when you're doing demos.
I like the example that you've mentioned, Chuck. Perspectives and having that growth mindset is applicable everywhere, right? And especially in what we do every day. So love that example.
Well, the tips we've talked about here sound a lot like the ones we discussed with Julian Mills not so long ago about giving good presentations. So listener, if you haven't heard those, I think we got one or two episodes in there. I invite you to go to devlink.sn/breakpoint and look them up. We did some presentation tips with Julian. You're going to find a lot of commonality, a good review. Many of the same things apply. Prepare, know your audience, that kind of thing. But I know this sounds like a lot. We covered a lot in this episode. I will do my best to build in more of an outline for the show notes so you can just follow along there if you want to refer back to them or do a copy paste and make a checklist for yourself. Go for it. We are here to help. And I don't want you to have to come back to this in 6 months and listen to the whole thing all over again if you don't have to. If you want, I'd love it, but you don't have to. thank you for joining us today. Before we leave, can Anusha, you can give the listeners a way to get in touch with you?
So if you'd like to get in touch with me, look me up on LinkedIn. It's Anusha, A-N-W-S-H-A. And you can just search for Anusha ServiceNow with a product management title, and it'll be the first search that'll come up on Google. I've done that many times since saw that. So you can get in touch with me on LinkedIn, and feel free to drop by and say hi.
She's figured out her own SEO. That's awesome. And Amit, how can the listeners get in touch with you?
Yeah, pretty similar. You can for Amit Kumar, working at ServiceNow, and I'll be there on LinkedIn. I know my name is popular, so you might find a lot of matches, but yeah, I mean, just find for a guy who has like a very young picture, and that'll be me.
Got your first birthday party when you were 1 year old?
Not that old as well, Chuck.
Well, thank you again for joining us. And thank you, wonderful listener, for listening today. Don't forget to check out the other ServiceNow podcasts. You can find them all under servicenow.com/community in the events menu. We have many, many more about vast topics, not just developer focus. So give it a listen. Go subscribe to any or all of them for free to get them automatically delivered to you. Breakpoint is brought to you by ServiceNow. Lauren and I are the executive producers somehow. I'm not sure how that happened, but true as it is. Find out more about the ServiceNow Developer Program, head over to developer.servicenow.com. And thank you once again, Anusha and Amit, for sharing with us today. Great stuff.
Thank you, Chuck. It was great speaking with you, Lauren, and with my friend Amit on the show. I'm sure that the impact and reach of what you have with these podcasts is huge, and wishing you all the best and more success and more power with whatever you do. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us. It was wonderful just sharing our thoughts with you. We look forward to doing something similar in future as well.
Absolutely.
All right.
Please let us know what you think about this podcast. You can leave feedback or ask questions in the ServiceNow community. For more great information on ServiceNow development, check out the ServiceNow Developer Portal at developer.servicenow.com. Thanks for listening.
Who wants this one? No, I keep tripping across the point I want to make.
What's the point? Maybe I can help. Additionally, too, for a lot of those things that you
have all the assets ready at your... okay, let's do this again.
Thanks, I'll do that again. What does that mean?
We can go ahead and do that again as well.
This one's going to be fun to edit.
I'm so incredibly sorry for...
Head over to developer.servicenow. But dang it, I screwed up the last part.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Sorry. Thank you so much, Chuck and Lauren.